The New York Times put out a story mentioning our governor, Governor Pritzker. There's a national story about what might be if President Joe Biden does not run the next round. He'll be 82 shortly after being elected president, should that happen. But Democratic circles are looking into who could be next if he doesn't run. And there are 11 probables they go through here. Everyone from Stacey Abrams to Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Mitch Landrieu in New Orleans, and some others. But among the 11, J.B. Pritzker, they even talk about him in the story as high on the list of probables. So I want to ask Tom Bevin what he thinks about this, of Real Clear Politics. He's the co-founder and president there. And I know you follow very closely national politics as part of your site and what you guys do over there. Tom, what did you make of this? Certainly you saw it. What do you think?
Well, you know, I kind of chuckled a little bit because it said in the New York Times story that there's abundant talk of this in private, which is, you know, sort of a funny way of putting it. Look, could J.B. Pritzker be in the presidential mix in 2024? Sure. I mean, he has to win re-election, number one. All these candidates that are standing for re-election on the Democratic and Republican side, folks like Ron DeSantis, I mean, they all have to win their 2022 elections. And then they can look forward to, you know, assessing the landscape. I mean, most governors, most senators, even some House members these days, and mayors and folks, see themselves as presidential material. I think JB's probably no different in that regard. He probably thinks he's done a very good job and has, you know, the option to run for president. He certainly has the checkbook.
Sure.
And that's something that's not a small thing when you're talking about working your way through a presidential primary. So he has those things working in his favor, but pretty premature, I think, for anybody to be discussing, particularly him. But I think the story sort of writ large just shows the problem that the Democrats have, because even though Joe Biden has said he's standing for re-election, nobody believes that. They don't believe that he's going to, actually. And Kamala Harris is not strong enough to clear the field. I mean, she would be the obvious choice, but she is was not a good candidate the first time around. She has her approval ratings as vice president are below where Biden is, and so she's very vulnerable. And so that has Democrats sort of looking far and wide for possible, possible options. And JB is one of the ones that got mentioned.
Is it a personal ambition, do you think, of his, that he would want to do this should the path get cleared and other things being what you say? Is that something you think is true?
Sure. I mean, I think JB has expressed a sort of he's been an ambitious guy for a long time. He sees himself, again, having the resources to take on these things. My tell, and this is when I know he's serious about running, is when he starts losing weight, because that's something that, you know, we've seen. It's just sort of been a feature of our politics for a long time now. We don't really all of our presidents have been thin. Even people who've run, Chris Christie, for example, on the Republican side, went through a dramatic weight loss. Mike Pompeo on the Republican side now has lost a bunch of weight. And so I think that's another sign that perhaps he's really, really interested in and is taking it very seriously.
All right. The losing weight index. We'll follow that as well. There is a lot of time, as you point out, Tom, so we'll have to see. But how about speak generally? Because you've got your finger on the pulse of this stuff. Trends in major cities, mayoral elections, local elections, as what voters care about now that maybe weren't popping quite as much in terms of top concerns before. It feels like the electorate is shifting. You certainly saw that in New York, Eric Adams being elected mayor there, showing the growing concerns about crime. That seems to be up there. What are you noticing?
Yeah, I mean, the two issues that are top of mind of the American public right now, and it's shifting both in large urban cities, but also the suburbs around these cities. And that's where the sort of electoral battleground is, particularly in swing states, the states that will decide the election, the 2024 election, and even 2022. It's crime and it's inflation. I mean, those are the two things. You throw a third one in the mix there, sort of the critical race theory and education. But crime is now become a suburban issue that it wasn't in a way that it wasn't just a few months ago. And inflation is obviously, we've got more bad news on inflation this morning, seems to be that this is a problem that's not going away. It's one that the administration hasn't really done a very good job on messaging-wise, Democrats in general. And so those are the two things that, unless we see event pop up that shifts the landscape dramatically between now and then, that's the issue matrix that Democrats are going to be facing in 2022. And it's at the moment, it's not a very good situation for them.
I know it's not a big election issue necessarily, but it is a big issue being discussed. I saw several stories on your site about this, Real Clear Politics, about big tech's control over what we get to say. I know on your site you have Democrats, Republicans, you've got independents, you've got all schools of thought that weigh in with different thought pieces. It's one of the reasons why I appreciate your site. But when it comes to big tech and their control, I saw today the top story on your site was John Stossel of ABC News fame. Involved in this back and forth with Facebook because they actually fact-checked him, I guess, and they disproved his post and then later said, no, when we say fact-check, it's really opinion. So the whole thing, it's amazing to see the power they have, amazing to see that they get to decide what's truthful and what's not, who's platformed and who's not. And I guess as private companies, they're allowed to do that, Tom. But the control issue, you guys run a lot of stories on this and spotlight this big issue that isn't going anywhere but increasing.
Yeah, no, and has grown in importance and continues to grow in importance. And there's been an internal debate or a debate within sort of the Beltway about, what is the legislature's role? What can they do? Should these companies be broken up? Should they be denied their current status under Section 230 and be treated as public utilities because they are the public square? I mean, and so their ability, even though they're private companies, right, to be shut out of discourse or to be censored on a site like Facebook or Twitter, for example, is a huge, huge thing. And so it's one of those things that Democrats actually have been arguing in favor of. And this is the COVID and sort of the idea of misinformation. Democrats have actually been in favor of these companies doing more of that kind of thing, while Republicans have been very much opposed to it. And so it has become sort of a partisan fault line. And while it's not going to move many voters, I think, around election time, it is one of the big debates of the current day, which I think is going to continue and only increase in the future.
Mm-hmm. I know, Tom, your site, Real Clear Politics, is known as a go-to at election time, but you've made quite a name for yourself year-round now. People go to you for content. Do you get to take a break a little bit over the holidays, or do you gear up for the next election? Does that get to happen?
Thankfully, the pace slows down around the holidays because, a lot of folks are taking time off, and so... but in general, from where we started this thing 20 years ago, if you can believe that, the way the news cycle has shortened from days to hours to now even minutes, it's become that isn't changing. That's only getting worse. And that makes it a very, we got to kind of be, even in slow times like this, we have to be monitoring and ready to update at a moment's notice, because you just never know because the flow of news these days is just so... it's so swift, it's really hard to keep up.
Isn't that true? I've noticed that myself. There used to be a little bit of a lull around the holidays where really nothing happened. There'd be like a Friday afternoon news dump right before Christmas, some news somebody wanted to get out of the way, and then things would go a little quiet for a while. And that doesn't happen, Tom. We got to be on our guard all the time.
That's right.
Thank you for your thoughts today, though. Appreciate you joining us here on GN.
Absolutely. Thanks, Anna.